bad news.
Bad news for the state.
Bad news for capital.
Bad news for patriarchy.
Bad news for all forms of domination.
Bad news. Angry voices from around the world.
Our monthly info show from anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio projects worldwide.
If these news are bad, I don't want to be good.
On this month's Bad News, Angry Voices from Around the World, from the A-Radio Network, we're featuring two segments. First up, you'll hear A-Radio Berlin presenting audio of an interview conducted by Jurnal Anarki from Indonesia with comrades in Chile in 2024 on a range of topics. Then you'll hear Parias of Athens interviewing members of the Organization of Militant Anti-Fascism about anti-fascist Septembers in Greece. You can find more episodes of the show via our website, a-radio-network.org, in addition to information about other participants in the network and how you and your project can get involved yourselves. Stay dangerous.
What's your main focus as a group or individuals that operate in territory controlled by the state of Chile?
First of all, thank you very much for your interest. We are an informal affinity group that is organized around anti-authoritarian propaganda, against prisons, against techno-industrial progress, and violent direct action. As a group and as individuals, we are part of the anarchist praxis on different fronts, always betting on the intensification of the conflicts, the fight for the freedom of our imprisoned comrades, and keeping alive the memory and insurrectional path of the comrades who have died on the dizzying paths of anti-authoritarian praxis. We believe that only through action we can give life and meaning to ideas.
Anarchists from non-Latin-speaking countries are amazed by the growing anarchist tension in Chile, especially the diverse anarchic movement, the regeneration of the youth, and against the heavy repression that the anarchists face amidst all this, yet still retain their combative and insurrectionary action. What's really making all of this possible?
The anarchist movement in this territory has its origins in the end of the 19th century, and its greatest boom was the beginning of the 20th century, with experiences such as social resistance, the fight for women's emancipation, union soup kitchens, popular medical consultations, revenge killings, self-management, mutual aid, and direct action. Anarchism being the greatest political force within the nascent workers' movement. During this period, and up to the present, anarchism was catalogued as a dangerous internal enemy, which must be suppressed at all costs. And thus, in the mid-20th century, anarchists were strongly repressed, imprisoned, tortured, and executed by bloody dictatorships and so-called democratic movements. During the second half of the 20th century, official and Marxist historiography took care to conceal this historical background, omitting anarchists from the historical narrative, relegating them from their leading role in the struggle for social revolution, causing popular circles to distance themselves from the ideas of anarchism, choosing instead the institutional path offered by partisan politics. With the end of the civil-military dictatorship of the fascist Pinochet at the beginning of the 90s, the anarchist movement, which never ceased to exist, re-emerged among the youth. The fight against the dictatorship, the expressions of resistance against the neoliberal, colonial and extractivist model imposed by the military junta with blood and fire, through memory and direct action, are a precedent in the historical identity. With thousands of people tortured, executed and disappeared, the recent history of this territory was marked by state violence. Since the 2000s, the anarchist movement has had various expressions in this area. Squatted social centers, anti-authoritarian libraries, solidarity activities for the freedom of political prisoners, cultural activities, publishing houses, study groups, propaganda, groups resisting mining and industrial progress, violent demonstrations, bomb attacks against symbols of power, armed expropriations, violent direct actions against the authorities, armed confrontation with the police, burning barricades in secondary schools, universities, towns, etc. Today, anti-authoritarian praxis has had a great calling among youth. Comrades from a young age have been involved in direct confrontations against the police in different educational centers and towns, claiming the black memory, solidarity with political prisoners in Chile and the world, commemorating different murdered comrades, and taking on the direct conflict. In addition, in recent decades, informal affinity groups have proliferated who, through violent actions, bomb attacks and armed confrontations, have contributed to the development of ideas and violent praxis against authority. But as we know, on the path of conflict, there's always the possibility that something will go wrong. Murdered comrades, imprisoned for decades, wounded comrades, each blow of power has forced us to defend ourselves and become stronger. We are looking for new methods and strategies to continue conspiring for the fall of dominion, and at the same time, take care of our own security as well as that of our companions. Our security and freedom depend only on us. We must always keep this in mind, to be one step ahead of the enemy. Currently, we have more than a dozen anti-authoritarian comrades in the prisons of the Chilean police state, imprisoned for different attacks and armed and violent actions against power. We struggle for their freedom, as well as keeping alive the memory of the comrades who have been murdered or have died in the course of this social or antisocial war. Solidarity and direct action are the driving force that keeps the anarchist and anti-authoritarian offensive alive.
In Chile, there is events such as the Day of the Young Combatant, which keeps in our memories those who fell in the struggle. How much of this commemoration of the fallen combatants influences society?
Every March 29th, in the popular and marginal sectors of Chile, the Day of the Youth Combatant is commemorated. This date has its origins in 1985 in memory of Mauricio Maigret, and is marked when that year Rafael, 20 years old, and Eduardo, 18 years old, Vergara Toledo, along with others of their companions, were going out to carry out an expropriation. When they approached the place, they were intercepted by the repressive apparatus of the dictatorship. While fleeing the place, both brothers were caught and killed in the town, Villa Francia, where they lived with their families. The official version of the dictatorship was that the companions died in a shootout with the police, but later it was proven that they were executed by the police for political reasons, since they were part of the armed resistance to the dictatorship. The commemoration of the Day of the Youth Combatant has been a historic date of direct confrontation against power and its repressive forces, where different action groups coordinate to build barricades and armed confrontations against the police, to bring to the present the memory of the comrades who are no longer with us, through vindication and violent action against power and progress. Over the year, this date has seen a decrease in popular support, but there has been growing participation by action groups who have continued to confront the police in an increasingly forceful manner. But not only is the Day of the Young Combatant a day of action for the anarchist movement, on May 22nd, we commemorate the death in combat of the anarchist comrade Mauricio Morales, a comrade who died after the premature detonation of an explosive device that he was carrying when he was going to place it in a gendarmerie school. On September 11th, we commemorate the murder of the anarchist comrade Claudia Lopez, who was killed while protesting on the barricade in 1989 during a commemoration of the 1973 coup d'etat. On November 2nd, we commemorate the murder of the anti-authoritarian comrade Kevin Garrido, killed during a fight in the Santiago First prison in 2018. In December, we commemorate the murder of the anarcho-nihilist comrade Sebastian Oversloy, killed by a guard at a bank branch when the comrade was trying to carry out a bank expropriation with other comrades in 2013. And we also remember many other comrades who are no longer with us. The exercise of memory is for us a fundamental part of keeping the anarchic tension alive in this and other territories. The struggle for the freedom of our imprisoned comrades and the propagation of anarchic ideas can only be achieved through multiform direct action. Propaganda, publications, activities, commemorations, the struggle against patriarchal, specialist and colonial society, sabotage of the gears of power, violent confrontation, solidarity and mutual aid are a fundamental part of anarchic work and the engine that gives it dynamism and vitality. Only through action can we shake off from our minds the inherited morality and the mental barriers that prevent us from responding forcefully to the blows of power.
In normalizing combative action, Chileans are most likely prepared whenever there is going to be general upheaval. How is the so-called movement into these diversities of tactics? And are there any debates or even subdivisions concerning this?
In the last 2 decades, the political and social climate in Chile has been convulsive, marked by general and violent protests. In 2019, a widespread revolt broke out throughout the country, driven by the great inequality and precariousness of life, environmental sacrifice zones, extractivism, corruption, impoverishment, and the anti-patriarchal struggle, among many factors, which led to a general mobilization of the population. Barricades, sabotage of transport services, attacks on police stations, looting, fires, mass demonstrations. The response of those in power was the same as always. Dozens of prisoners, wounded, dead, and shotgun shots to the face, which left hundreds of comrades with the loss of one or two of their eyes. The anarchist environment, which had been developing a constant combative and frontal practice for years, found during this period a space for action, far from reformist slogans and betting on sharpening the conflict. Different anarchist groups and individuals participated in the different expressions of the revolt through multiform direct action against power. Affinity groups pushed the protests and bet on the expansion of the conflicts. Territorial participation instances were raised, solidarity actions, armed propaganda in the towns, coordination for the freedom of political prisoners, etc. The diversity of tactics has been a consequence of the exploration and constant development of the insurrectional practice. The bet on informality and the decentralization of the attack against the power which has allowed us to develop in an autonomous and integral way, collectivizing the tools for the social or antisocial war, generating a dialogue with the comrades through action. As in all territories, diversity is part of the anarchist framework. Different strategies, different conclusions, different approaches, but the same enemy. Debates and conversations are always present in the anarchist environments. Discussions, controversies, presentations of anarchist publications, solidarity campaigns with political prisoners are part of the internal dialogue of the movement. If we ask if there are subdivisions, of course there are. Diversity generates difference. Of course we are not referring to denunciation, collaborations with the police, authoritarian or patriarchal attitudes. Those who fall into these practices should not be considered comrades. We believe that it is in the autonomy of affinity groups, in an anti-authoritarian action, that we find ourselves.
Can you tell us how much sympathy there is in Chilean society to the indigenous Mapuche struggle for autonomy? And what do anarchists contribute to the struggle?
This territory carries a history of competitiveness and resistance in its history. From the arrival of the Spanish to these territories, through the colonies, then the establishment of the nation-state and bourgeois democracies, the history of the poor and exploited of this territory has always been marked by structural violence, settlers, bosses, landowners, military, police, politicians. However, what has always been present transversely into history has been the expression of resistance to power. When the Spanish arrived in the south of this territory in the 16th century, they were confronted and contained by the Mapuches, who resisted the advance of the Spanish Empire and then resisted the advance of the nascent Chilean state in a conflict that extends to this day. Chilean society today is not very sympathetic to the struggle for autonomy of the Mapuche people. Although the Mapuche cause is of great interest, and just as in the most popular left-wing and anarchic sectors, it is not something transversal in society. After years of colonialism, Chilean society has become classist and racist, denying its indigenous origin. On the other hand, the Mapuche people have remained active in the struggle for the liberation, sharpening the conflict and advancing in the struggle to recover the territories from which they were dispossessed. Our contribution to the struggle is from our line of action, propaganda, direct actions, making the conflict visible in solidarity with the Mapuche political prisoners as part of anarchic action. We believe that the struggle for the liberation of the Mapuche people is a line of action within our ideology. Within the anarchic environment, there are comrades who participate in instances of autonomous organization in Mapuche communities, as well in experiences of recovery of ancestral territory. Comrades like Emilia Milene Bau, an anarchist comrade who was murdered by private guards of a condominium located in a disputed ceremonial territory, Matias Catrileo, or comrade Johnny Carigueo, a young Mapuche with anarchist tendencies, who was brutally beaten and detained by the police during a commemoration of the Day of the Young Combatant in Santiago. As a result of the beating, the comrade died on March 31, 2008 from a heart attack. These are all parts of the black memory that unites us in struggle. As anarchists, we stand in solidarity with the struggle of the Mapuche people. We remain attentive and ready to collaborate in any situation, maintaining distance and respect for their own self-determination.
Please give your opinions or whatever you wanted to say that has not been asked in this short interview. There are no limitations.
We believe in the need to communicate the struggles, to generate international networks that allow dialogue and the flow of knowledge and experiences beyond the geographical distance, which nourishes the anarchist action against civilization and progress, allowing us to increase the reach and effectiveness of our action, maintaining our territorial identity, decolonizing anarchism, expanding it, and bringing it to praxis always from the premise of total liberation and the fight against all authority. We greet the comrades who are today under police siege in Greece, the result of the early explosion that took the life of comrade Kyriakos. We stand in solidarity with Mariana, Dimitris, Dimitra and Niklos Romanos, who are now facing prison. We also want to take the opportunity to send our solidarity to the group of young anarchists who at the end of October suffered an accident in secondary school when they were making Molotov cocktails in the bathroom, which caused a large fire and burns to more than 30 comrades. Our solidarity is with you.
Hello, comrades. I'm the Parias of Athens, and now you listen to my contribution to the bad news of September. Today, we will have an interview about the so-called anti-fascist September of Greece. More specifically, we have Nikos from the organization Militant Antifascism, aka ORMA, that responded to my call and will speak to us. Let's start. When was the ORMA founded and for what reason, as well as tell me a few words about the name, your procedures and where we can find you.
First of all, thank you, Pareas, for this opportunity on behalf of ORMA. We're glad to have this interview and explain some political things about the affairs in Greece and especially the anti-fascist movement. ORMA was founded in 2014 in a period that was transitional within an economic crisis since 2008. We can see that there was a deregulation of political system and a strategic crisis within the Greek bourgeoisie caused not only by the economic crisis, but also combined by the existence of a massive working class movement, a left-wing movement that was outraged and was trying to burst out. And this led also, for the first time in the post-war era, for the formation of a fascist movement to counter these tries from the left-wing movement. So at that period, we had the Greek society facing the results of the austerity measures of memorandums, as well as the rise of right parties and fascist groups, like what happened in Ukraine with the right sector, the Nazi party, and also the Golden Dawn in Greece, as an answer to the uprisings of 2008, December 2008, and the massive strikes and the movement of the indignants and the squares in 2010. So at that time there was a governance crisis and different EU tactics were trying out. Why militant anti-fascism? So for us, militant anti-fascism is not just a slogan. Fascism won't pass. It's more of a recognition that there is an existential threat for the working class syndicates, the class organizations, by a fascist movement from below, a grassroots movement that not only attacks and kills, but also chasing the takeover of power. It's not only a conflict of values and ideology with fascism. We see it as the filthiest version of the capitalist system that tries to dismantle the organized societies and bring forward passive raw material for the profits of the masters. That being said, the need and a clear goal that actually smashes the fascist action is the formation of a class-based anti-fascist mechanism, an organization that would focus in dismantling and blocking the fascist attempts for social grounding in school, workplaces, neighborhoods. And most importantly, we wanted to highlight that we are part of the labor movement. We are not rivals to the existing one. And there was a need for an offensive and effective structure that broadens the class struggles. In connection with the anti-capitalist movement, in internationalist solidarity, having socialist principles and ideals. For the question who smashes actually the fascism, it's not someone else, it's not some professionals, but it's actually how you activate and mobilize the people that share socialist ideas and to prove that we can have an easy battle against fascism to block them and then chase the actual system and how to break it down and how to take over the power from the bourgeoisie in Greece. So ORMA functions in local branches within the Athens center and suburbs. We also try to extend to the countryside in other cities. And our goal nowadays is to build communist action groups that mobilize and networking within neighborhoods, within social spaces and working places. We have weekly assembles and weekly actions in working places and neighborhoods, trying to have to build up an alternative socialist narrative for the current affairs, both domestic and international, and have a counter information and propaganda disrupting the capitalist norms. You can find more about us in our website, ormadefa.org, as well as our social media. You can find links for Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And we also have a monthly leaflet, Antifascistική Φρουρά, named after Antifascist Guard. It's a monthly leaflet that depicts the current affairs and an analysis, most importantly, how we fight nowadays. You can find Antifascistική Φρουρά in social centers, in bookstores and cafes that have leftist leaflets and magazines.
Why we call the Septembers as anti-fascist?
So it happened that on 18th of September, back in 2013, an anti-fascist musician, Pavlos Fissas, in Kerastini, was murdered, stabbed by a fascist squad, the Golden Dawn squads that were imitating the Nazi paramilitary squads, actually. And this event signaled the peak of the Nazi terror back in the time, not as the first murder. We had also murders of immigrants by the Nazis, but for us it was the peak because it seemed that there were failed tactics from the class movement back then. One was that there was no actual confrontation of the squads. There was a try of underestimation for Golden Dawn, as well slogans that we educate the Nazis, we don't fight them, or we search for legal and abstract fights. Thus, there was a need for a militant anti-fascist action that would block the threat of killing and more. And so the Septembers are called anti-fascist because every year since then, multiple and various actions have been taking place in order to stop the fascist terror. So let me go through a timeline of the anti-fascist movement and, as we name them in ORMA, the four deaths of the fascist movement that was arising since then. The first death of the fascist movement comes right after Fissa's murder. The day after, the Antifa movement outburst with thousands of demonstrators in the streets, confronting for the first time the squads of the Nazis, along with the police force as well, because they were collaborating back then. This public pressure forced the government party back then, New Democracy, to take some legal actions, prosecute the Nazi leadership, not actually taking them into prison, but starting some trials. Also some police raids within the Golden Dawn offices had been ordered. Offices that the Nazis had guns and whatever weapon they were using against immigrants, LGBTQ community, the leftists, the anarchists, and any worker even that wanted to strike, because they worked as strike breakers as well. 1.5 months after Fissa's murder, a political execution of two fascist thugs, two guards in Neo-Iraklio office of Golden Dawn, happened, and this was also part of the uprising, and it was a first stop to what was happening until then. Moving on to the second death of the fascist movement, let me explain that even that a legal prosecution had started, that was not enough. Even if detained, the trials would last 5 to 10 years, and that was enough time for the Nazis even to take power and escape this prosecution. Let alone that even with the prosecution since 2013, when the elections of 2015 took place, they gained a 7% for the parliament, meaning that even a legal prosecution wouldn't stop them from having political benefits and the funds supporting them. So there was an actual need for a dynamic counter-strike on that. Moreover, even if during the elections a leftist party got the power, we had to assure that in the streets we had to block a dynamic far-right opposition from the Nazi party to Syriza. And we also had to put an end to the terror that had landed on our side all the previous years from the Nazi squads, and that were actually, they could actually be confronted and smashed in the streets. So the second death came from a continuous block of every public appearance, actions of the fascists, through a mobilization of people to cripple down the organizational structure of Golden Dawn, turning around the terror and the fear of the Antifa movement towards the Nazis. In two ways, both socially delegitimize them and politically marginalize them. And I can explain more about how this happened until 2019, that we see this, the third defeat of the Nazi movement, which is the actual political defeat in elections. The electoral collapse of the Golden Dawn that ruined their bonds also with the core of the state and the deep state. Lastly, in 2020, we have the official burial certificate for the Nazis that was actually the conviction of Golden Dawn, with over 50,000 of demonstrators, anti-fascists, that flooded the avenue outside the court, only to be dispersed by the police water cannons, but proving that the previous years there was a dynamic, massive movement that now had to take the win out of it.
Do you have some examples and a timeline for your actions?
For sure. Let me depict some examples year by year. So, right 1 year after Fisa's murder and the and founding ORMA, we had set a goal of 3 points, like to have no actual appearance of Golden Dawn in 1st of May, the Labor Day, not let the victimization of the fascists that were killed the 1st of November as a counter-strike for Fisa's murder, and also to stop the nationalist anniversary late of January for the dispute between Turkey and Greece since 1996. Yet, during the fall of new democracy government, we passed into an anti-fascist, anti-capitalist counter-offense, exploiting the cracks in the governance and reversing the balance. So, within 2015, Antifa rallies were cancelling the Nazi party public gatherings. We cancelled a gathering in the center of Piraeus, repelling the coordinate encircling attacks by police and fascists. We also had faced a criminal ambush in the train station. We cancelled the establishing of a racist residence committee in Keratsini. Also in 2016, it's for the first time that the IMIA nationalist anniversary is not celebrated by the fascists since 2010. We also broke the Nazi face control that they had established outside the courts in Athens, opening a second gate for the anti-fascists and stopping the humiliation of the lawyers and the families of the victims that had to go to the court. We also cancelled a gathering of the Nazi party against the creation of an Islamic temple in Votanikos. Moreover, in 2017, we blocked a fascist try to create a union within the working center of Athens. Moreover, more actions took place in Salamina and Perama, shutting down their offices. We holded events and gatherings right under their offices, meaning that their fans, they would not visit, their members would have a problem of actually conflicting with us, or either shut them down. In 2018, we have the last try of them building a union of strike breakers. We had an ambush by them in Perama, for which we have a trial until now. Next month, in 6th of October, we have the second round of the trial. And there is a unique thing about this trial. It's a trial that not only they got smashed in the streets, but they are also convicted. Our goal is to prove the innocence of the anti-fascism and not let the current right-wing party, New Democracy and the bourgeoisie justice, equalize the anti-fascist action that frees society from the fascist terror. Yet I would like to insist that not only important battles were fought, but also there was a need for massive organization, people to get into the anti-fascist action, and a daily struggle, meaning that we go and visit schools, workplaces, universities, municipal halls, whatever was happening in the society, we had to face our comrades and the people outside, so that everywhere there was a decisive answer to any threat that was rising. Crushing the fascists doesn't mean that a new far-right movement can't come forward again. The far-right policies from the current government do not need a false and abstract alarm. We need a specific, decisive presence and the experience how to smash also this. So with that spirit and this experience from smashing the Nazi squads, and also the political stance, we can see that we can easily cut off whatever ambition might arise from any next aspiring Führer or wannabe Führer.
Okay. So is there a fascist threat now in Greece, in Europe?
For that to answer, we need to make a clear separation between what is a fascist movement and the far-right party's policy and agenda. We can't compare the right sector that burned alive and killed the house of syndicates back in 2014 or Golden Dawn squads killing in the streets in Greece with the Vox or AFD now in Spain and in Germany. In Greece, specifically, there is no actual grassroots movement, a fascist movement. We have a far-right policies from the government party, New Democracy. Even though the Greek state holds policies that contain nationalism, racism, and warmongering, we have a total attack against the working class through a strike-ban industry, persecutions of syndicalists, massive killings of immigrants in the borders with shootings or murderous pushbacks. New Democracy mobilizes the Coast Guard in order to create shipwrecks and hundreds of people running away from the countries and searching for asylum to be ended up. Last month, they also passed a new law prohibiting asking for asylum from center countries. We also have killings as are working accidents. Also the massive murder, this criminal collision of trains in Tebi in 2023. And all these years, we have more equipment for the police, new police squads and groups, so that the New Democracy would cut down any resistance from the working class. Moreover, New Democracy participates in global conflicts. They sent frigates and warships in the Red Sea to protect the Greek ship owners and continue the commercial routes with Israel. They also have sent and they had blocked the Libyan Sea under the assumption that they will block the immigrants, but they actually want to interfere for what is happening with the economic zones in the Mediterranean. Since the first days of the conflict in Ukraine, they have been sending support and weapons. Another thing is how the Greek government participates in the genocide of the Palestinian people by the Israelis. I mean, they provide barracks here in Greece for training the IDF. The IDF is an occupational army in the Palestine lands, And New Democracy chooses to continue an economic, industrial and military support towards Israel. They are following the example of the rest of the Europe with the Rearm 2030 policy, a war policy that they want to press upon the peoples of Europe, that now you have to learn to work and live as if you are in a war zone. The states are cutting down the social support and anything public, but they will spend tons of money for weaponry. And also it's like a transitional to the Trumpism effect that is happening nowadays. A political scene of Trumpism consists of the inability of escaping the crisis, having no growth after all these years. It's an economic dead end. And building up an emergency state, activating the army against any kind of insurrection within the borders, but also having the federal forces in various states. Also renaming the Ministry of War nowadays, proving that they face the other countries as protectorates, or they want them to sacrifice their autonomy, like how they force Europe or Ukraine to follow what is happening in US. And this is not only a dispute between Russia and Russia, China with USA. Trump is pushing against the EU, and here it's not like we want to guard the policies from EU. But this doesn't come without any cost. He also has a dispute with the federal banks. But even this short analysis is not to make us feel like we are unable to do anything as a working class movement. We have steps to take and reply to any attack that we are facing right now.
Do you have anything else to say about all these? Any suggestions from your organization?
We can see that around the world, even though there are no revolutions at the moment, and this is an issue, we see that people is uprising. We have to get this as a signal that there is people that want to fight, and the class movement organization have to put some steps here and a guidance. A guidance that is towards how to take over the power and raise the system. So we need to support any avant-garde movement. Here in Greece, there are examples of students in the arts or teachers and firefighters that have tried and actually occupied buildings, overcoming any blockades from the bureaucratic syndicalism. We also have university workers, sailors and port workers that have continued strikes even though there was a ban. We want to be next to them. We want to provide a mechanism that takes a flame and creates a fire after it. We need to try different tactics also for the anti-war movement and the workers' movement. We need to try different tactics and bring forward against how we rise. We don't want to be just an opposition. We have to protect and bring forward our own ideals. We need to block everything, like they say nowadays in France. We need actual strikes that block the economic and the commercial procedures and that bring the government into a halt. The strikes that happened recently and the demonstrations about the murder in trains in Tebi proved that there is a lack of a coherent plan from the left about how you take the power. But when we say that we need to take the power, we don't mean just to change the ministers. We want to change the relation of the capital and the workers. We want to regain a world like Karl Marx was saying. We need to raise a red flag and unite for the international solidarity, the red flag that the Parisian Commune rose, and also the Bolsheviks in the October Revolution. We need a nowadays vision of socialism as the only solution against the capitalist barbarism and also the war and poverty threat that they are running against our shoulders right now. We don't search for a reformist realpolitik management of the economy. We need to inspire the autonomy of a radical far-left approach to bring forward a political action to the daily routine of the masses, of the poor classes. We need to build upon a revolutionary party and the self-governance of the working class. These are the ideas that push us forward, and we can manage it. We can win this war.